From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. Our series of political forums featuring candidates in western Wisconsin focuses next on the 95th Assembly District, which encompasses the city of La Crosse and a portion of the town of Shelby. Voters will choose between the incumbent, Democrat Jennifer Schilling, who's been in office for 10 years, and her Republican challenger, retired state employee Nick Charles. Both are from the city of La Crosse. Our moderator is former La Crosse Tribune political reporter Dick Mile, who begins the conversation by asking the candidates about the state of the economy and Wisconsin's projected $2.7 billion deficit and what that means for schools and local governments.
Right now, the governor has asked for agencies to go through the exercise of putting together their budget, submitting it to the Department of Transport, Department of Administration, and they're looking at 10% cuts right now that they are preparing to do. That certainly is not easy for local governments because they are having to find that they have to make up the difference then in their communities, which is not always easy or popular. And those cuts trickle down to their budget, that they will have to continue to do more with less. But the 10 years that I've been in the legislature, our schools have done a great job of having to find where they can make these cuts without impacting the educational experience in the classroom. And I for sure do not want to see teacher layoffs here across the state of Wisconsin, and in this last budget, we were able to protect that part of the budget, the education component, but they also saw cuts.
Okay. Nick, you're the challenger here. What are your thoughts on both the economy and also on what needs to happen to balance the budget?
Thank you for that question. It's quite a complex question. However, I think we can lay the blame directly on the government. For the way the situation that we're in and the way they have voted in the last 2 to 4 years that have covered certain mandates that have come down to the state from the federal government and have caused the state at this point to be suffering in these budget hard budget times. And that said, I think that any time a bill comes through the state, we should look at the future impact of it and not just pass it without even reading the bill. That said, I think that I can go ahead and say something about education. And I think that on the front of education, we definitely want to have a strong and viable education system in the state of Wisconsin. I think that the teachers and the educators, the college professors, the dean of the university here at La Crosse is doing an excellent job nationally. And I think our students are being well prepared. I wouldn't want to see any cutbacks in that area that could cause us to fall behind in any part of the job picture. I think that we can look at that and keep that intact.
Well, you will have to cut somewhere. Where would you look?
Well, if I was going to cut somewhere, I would start at the top.
You want to be more specific?
Well, I think that let's keep the classroom, let's keep the teachers, and let's look at upper management. The layers of management that come down, are they really necessary?
What about other parts of state government?
I have worked in the state government for the last 20 years, and I know what I mean, what I'm saying when I say layers of management. It's a serious problem.
Now, you were a state commercial building inspector,
That's correct. Yes,
and
I was.
From that experience, what does that what did that tell you about state government, and how does that inform your campaign?
Over the years, being in the Department of Commerce, which is life, safety, and health of the state of Wisconsin and commercial buildings, we also regulated the carnival rides and things like that proved to be very dangerous. They were inspected. The systems of Wisconsin, the water systems and plumbing systems, which we all kind of overlook as being an important part of the state of Wisconsin, but the welfare of the state is definitely dependent on those things, as we've seen from a recent article in La Crosse about some wastewater, groundwater running off, and changing the regulation on that to be five times more restrictive and causing the city of La Crosse to spend upwards of $30 million on some type of system to meet that goal. That is a real problem. where government has come down and mandated something that's very, very expensive to the city.
Well, let me just step back and ask you a general question about legislative priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, we can start with you. Why are you running? What are your legislative priorities? What is it you hope to do?
Well, I'm a conservative. I believe that we can do a very good job with what we have in place. I don't believe that we need any new taxes across the board, and I think that I would work very hard for either a reduction or at least a maintenance of the tax structure as it is right now. We certainly couldn't afford what's coming down from the federal government, where we're going to change and penalize the families of the state of Wisconsin with a marriage penalty tax, and then a tax directed at the people that do create the jobs out there. If there is such a thing, I think that the public should be able to keep the job they have, and I'm sure if we asked anybody out there if they'd like to have their old job back, they would find it quite inviting at this stage of the game, 2 years down the line, and being unemployed for 2 years.
Jennifer, what are your priorities?
Certainly the thing that I hear the most when I'm out in the community and going door to door, that people are still very anxious about our economy and job security, that here in the Cooley region our unemployment numbers are below the state average. The state average is below the national average, so we've been insulated a little bit, but still we have had a decrease in our manufacturing base here in the region. We are fortunate that we have strong health care, education, with a mix of agriculture outside of the city of La Crosse with the rest of La Crosse County. So that has helped us, but certainly want to continue to work on strengthening our economy, getting people back to work, giving small businesses the tools and incentives that they need to grow employment in their area. That's what I hear a lot about, that people are concerned about jobs, that we have seen sort of sluggish numbers and we're kind of on the uptick, but it's going in the right direction, but not too quick, that people need to have some confidence. They want to have confidence in the economy and in moving forward, but we are still in some tough, anxious times, I think, for families here in Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about job growth. What kinds of things would be necessary to get more people back to work, including tax structure and incentives?
Well, the legislature this last session, we passed more than 50 different job creation bills. If it was tax incentives, if it was worker retraining dollars for our technical schools, working with our job service organizations across the state, helping them retrain, get the skills necessary for people who are unemployed or displaced workers. And we need to continue to do that. That really is going to be one of the number one jobs and priorities for the state of Wisconsin, is to get people back to work, get them retrained into high-demand jobs. I know that, for one example, the welding program over at the technical school, that is a high-demand course right now, and people get the training that they need, and they get out into the workforce where it is needed. So we need to continue. I think we've started on the right track, but there's a lot more work that we can be doing to help families in this tough time.
Would you recommend any tax changes to stimulate the job growth?
Well, certainly I think in this last session we were able to do some tax cuts for middle-class families. I think that is it should be targeted where it is needed most, helping families with some tax credits for tuition into our UW system, helping with some child care credits as well. As many families have the expense of child care, that's something that's real. Also, a couple years ago, we removed the income tax from Social Security, so that's helping folks that live on fixed incomes. That as we passed this last budget, we were able to do it with a minimum impact on raising taxes to middle-class families. That if you are earning more than $250,000, yes, you probably saw your income tax go up, but for 90% of Wisconsin's families, we held the line on taxes here in the state of Wisconsin, and we are fortunate that we are seeing where we are being taxed, we are falling right now, that our state and local tax ranking has dropped to its lowest level in 49 years. After being in the top five highest tax states, we now rank 15th nationally, and if you look at both our taxes and our fees together, we are about 25th when it comes to the national per capita. So even our business tax rate has dropped to 30th, which is well below the national average. So I think we are heading in the right direction.
Okay. Nick, what would you do to stimulate the economy?
Well, that's a big question, quite honestly. If I look out there on the horizon, I can see that the businesses around the state of Wisconsin are probably suffering from some taxes that Jennifer wasn't talking about there in that last conversation and talking about all the great breaks that we're getting. That may or not be true, and I have to take a look at it more closely. In a month that I've been running for office, I've learned a few things about that, generally businesses around the state of Wisconsin are going to be taxed at a higher rate, and we're still in the top half of taxes in the country. We're still the top tax state in the country. We're very high. These numbers must have changed extremely rapidly because two months ago we got a very bad press release on being up there in number 3-4 position in state income taxes. So I think that maybe the facts are a little distorted. I wouldn't go too far with that, but I think that maybe we should take a closer look at that. Out there in the future, states compete from state to state on what we call tax breaks with businesses. And so there's a tool that always does generate some new businesses, and of course the state at some point in time has to reach out across the state lines and offer other business entities that benefit to them. I think that Harley-Davidson was a prime example of a condition where this tax structure changed in Wisconsin to such a point that Harley figured that they would be better off leaving the state of Wisconsin than staying here, and then suddenly, 4 weeks later, some kind of deal was struck, and they're staying in the state of Wisconsin. That made the La Crosse Tribune several times in the last month. So I think there's cases where somebody like a Harley-Davidson, who has a lot of employees and a lot of impact, can weather the kind of changes that have come into the tax structure in the state of Wisconsin in the last year. And they can actually withstand this, but the smaller business people out there can't stand it, and they don't even know it's coming yet. But after our election, they're going to find some new taxes in their inbox.
Which new taxes are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about tax changes in the state of Wisconsin that were passed in this last legislative session that eliminated the taxes, so-called tax loopholes, for businesses in the state of Wisconsin.
Jen, do you know which specific things he's talking about?
Well, he's probably referencing the implementing combined reporting here in the state of Wisconsin and closing that loophole. I believe that if a company is based here, if a company, say a McDonald's, is here in Wisconsin and it's in Minnesota, they're paying taxes in Minnesota. They should also be paying taxes here in the state of Wisconsin. The notion was that there are some businesses that open up a P.O. box in Las Vegas and that they can avoid paying taxes here in the state of Wisconsin. And frankly, it levels the playing field for our homegrown businesses here in the state of Wisconsin because they don't have those same tax breaks given to them. So it helps the small mom-and-pop businesses. It helps our homegrown Wisconsin businesses to close those loopholes so that they can be competitive with some of their other businesses here in the state of Wisconsin. And by closing that tax loophole and establishing some tax fairness, I think that has helped us in the services that people come to expect here in the state of Wisconsin, that we were able to offer 98% of Wisconsin's population is covered and has access to health insurance. That is something that I am proud of here in the state of Wisconsin, that we rank number one and number two for quality and access for health care. But it doesn't come easy, that yes, we have had to level the playing field for some of these big businesses in the state that were not paying taxes and rightfully should have been.
Well, Nick, was that the specific tax change you were talking about?
Right.
And would you propose eliminating that?
Well, it's surely going to impact the businesses of the state of Wisconsin, the entrepreneurs that are here, and that they're going to have to look at seriously whether they really want to be in Wisconsin anymore, which will, in essence, cause more unemployment to reach our state. And Jennifer talked about our state being a top state. I've lived here all my life. I've lived in La Crosse area all my life. And I know that we're insulated from what happens on the east and west coast. And so generally, if we weather the storm is not quite as bad in the Midwest for us on the economic front. However, this one is prolonged and procrastinated out to such a point that it's soon going to hit the greater La Crosse area. And I think that these changes, as subtle as they may seem, have far-reaching impact. And they don't exactly happen the day you pass the bill. They turn up in the next tax season. So we'll see how this plays out for sure. And I suspect it's going to be a very strong negative on the impact of Wisconsin.
So if there were an effort to repeal combined reporting, would you sign on to that?
I absolutely would.
Mm-hmm. I would just point out if the combined reporting is repealed, that just exacerbates our deficit here in the state of Wisconsin, because now we suddenly are not collecting hundreds of millions of dollars, and that means that we need to have deeper cuts in our agencies.
Okay. We mentioned health care just briefly, but the state's actually been pretty aggressive in introducing a series of incremental health care steps that have covered more people. Jen, where do we go from here?
Well, we have with Badger Care, and we have grown that to Badger Care Plus and then Badger Care Core for those who are on the waiting list, that we have expanded access to health care. In this time when people are losing their employer-based health insurance, they have turned to the state to help them weather these times. And like I said earlier, we are number one, number two when it comes to access and quality here in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to health care. I think we definitely are going to have to look. We have a deficit in the Medicaid budget, that is a very growing part of our human services budget, and how we get our arms around some reform of Medicaid, the reimbursements and things like that certainly is a challenge. I came from a meeting this morning with long-term care providers who are very worried about how we deal with long-term care of our state's most vulnerable population, if it's aging and frail elderly, if it's the disabled. So with federal health care reform coming down the pike here, and I'm on a committee to see how that affects how we implement it here in the state of Wisconsin. Certainly dealing with health reform and Medicaid reform is something that we are going to have to tackle in the next budget.
And how would you do that?
Well, we wanted to, in the last budget, we were able to protect it from even deeper cuts in some other parts of the budget. I, for one, would like to see health and wellness incentives in our Medicaid budget. We don't have that currently. If you look to the private sector, many of them have health and wellness incentives in their insurance plans and have competitions in the workforce for incentives there for employees to become healthier and smarter consumers of health insurance and health programs. We don't have that currently. That just seems counterintuitive that in that population that we need to do a better job of dealing with our chronic diseases. We need to do a better job of the case management. Also, I support a program called a medical home pilot. Illinois currently has medical homes in their Medicaid budget and have saved millions of dollars over the last 4 years.
Nick, we've been talking about some very complex health care changes, both on the federal level and also on the state level. Have you been studying the issue, and if so, what conclusions have you reached?
Well, quite honestly, the federal health care program that came through without being read or looked at and on a twilight night passing has 500 changes in it that are egregious in most cases. And what will happen when that comes down is that
You've read the bill?
No, I haven't read the bill. It's a mammoth thing. Have you read the bill?
No.
Then we were both in the same boat. And I suspect that all the people that passed that bill didn't read it either. So that said, we're back to what's the egregious part. There was no provision in that bill for litigation, any part of the litigation part of that medical reform. And so with that said...
So there's no tort reform?
There's no tort reform in that bill. So what is the problem? Now, who's going to carry the weight when we have the socialized medicine that comes down from the federal government and regulates doctors, health care, the druggist, and mandates what you and I can have for health care and who we can go to and when we can go to it,
but
and then does not protect
us
from the litigation by the attorneys.
Let me just ask you, when you say socialized medicine, I just want to make sure we all understand what you're talking about, because under the health care reform, the physicians will be the existing physicians that we have now, and the insurers will be competing for, you know, various places in, so it'll all be private insurance.
There won't be any competition in this bill.
Okay.
By the time it shows up and by the time it's all implemented, the landscape will have completely changed. Completely changed. And whoever's on the bandwagon on this program is going to find out, whether they're pro or con, that it's not what they decide, it's what's been decided. And it's going to come down on everybody. It's just a bad thing. We're really in trouble now. And if you want an example of that, recently there's been some newspaper articles where insurance companies have stopped insuring people because they don't know what the effect's going to be. And if that goes away, your private insurance corporation, who is left?
So you think the private insurance industry will just slip away into the night, or what?
Well, they may decide. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't look out there in the future, but I can venture a guess.
But that's your prediction, that
I'm predicting
there won't
that
be a private insurance industry.
The goal will be not to have a private insurance industry.
How about the, let's get less apocalyptic, how about the changes that
point.
The state has been making in covering more people? Have you
looked
at those?
I honestly believe that the state of Wisconsin has been very progressive, and I find that being from the state of Wisconsin and being involved in the state of Wisconsin, I think that we've thought this out, and our legislature has worked very diligently and done the work that it takes to insure our uninsured citizens of Wisconsin. However, as that spreads out over the whole nation, we're going to be carrying a lot more weight than another state that didn't have such great ideas. In fact, we're probably in the forefront of trying to design this program. We may be it may look like a badger care when it's all said and done. But in the meantime, what's all this carnage going to be?
Republican Nick Charles is challenging incumbent Democrat Jennifer Schilling in Wisconsin's 95th State Assembly race on November 2nd. Both candidates live in La Crosse. Our moderator was former La Crosse Tribune political reporter Dick Mile, and there's much more to their conversation. You can hear it in its entirety on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. And for this week, that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Dick Mile and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. Next week, we'll feature candidates for Wisconsin's 91st and 92nd state assembly districts. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers or the extended interviews, our website again is wpr.org/lacrosse.